Thanks, Holy Spirit, for just what you're going to say in these next few minutes, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, worship team. Great worshiping, isn't it? Awesome. Well, I've got a few minutes that I just want to share with you our next culture point. We've been talking about this is home. And really, as a church, we want a culture where people feel that this is home. This is where you spiritually belong. This is where people understand you. This is where you've got a part to play. And this is what is worth investing your lives into. Last week, Dave did a great job, a brilliant job, talking about passionately serving Jesus, that there's got to be passion for Jesus, that he's our God, he's our Savior. And we want a church that's passionate, a church that's got some passion to get in there and worship and to bless God and to do the You Are Loved stuff and to do Christmas lights. And we certainly have a church like that. And tonight, I just want to spend a few moments talking about being alive in the Holy Spirit. That's part of who we are as Christians, to know that the Spirit of the living God is in us and wants to lead us and guide us, and try to connect with him and be alive in what he's saying and what he's doing. If everyone is alive in the Holy Spirit, then there's a sense of moving together forward. But when we aren't alive in the Holy Spirit and we do our own stuff, wow, it makes it really, really hard. You see, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. Have a look at this. Just say, this is your life. Okay, that bottle represents your life and who you are. What happens is you make a commitment to Jesus. You say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want to be all that you want me to be. And from that point, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes into your life and starts to absolutely change your life. Makes a difference. Stuff you used to do, you feel guilty about and you don't do any longer. Stuff that you want to get rid of in your life, you start to get rid of, and a change happens. And the Holy Spirit's job is to make that change happen so that you and I change from the inside out. That's what he's trying to do. And he produces fruit in our life. What he tries to do is to take love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control, and reproduce that in our life. That's his fruit. That's what he's trying to do. So if you want to see how someone's going with God or how they're walking with Jesus, be a fruit inspector. Have a look at the fruit that's coming out of their life, because no one who's close to God is going to be someone who's hating people or angry with people and all those sorts of things. But someone who's close and walking close to God, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them, the job of the Holy Spirit is to produce a fruit that just flows through every part of your life. So you reproduce Jesus. You're his example on this planet. And Jesus' heart is just so much saying, I want you to be a good example of me, not a bad example. And I think over the years in churches, we have had some pretty bad displays of love and kindness and goodness and those sorts of things. So we so much here at LifePoint want a culture where we do love, we do care, and we're learning to do life together. Not easy at times, but let's all work together for the common good. So with that, what happens, he produces also gives us gifts in our life, and those gifts are to build up the church. So personally, I've got the Holy Spirit in me, so I've got fruit, but also these gifts that he puts in. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about all these different gifts that he's given you and me so that we can work together to build up the church. Why? Not just for us, so that we're a shining example in our community that God is alive. When the first church started after the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were transformed, and they were amazingly transformed, that people would look at them and say, there's a difference, they're a different color, something's happening in their heart, there's an absolute difference, and that is absolutely amazing. And that difference was so contagious as they devoted themselves to one another, to the apostles' teaching, to prayer and breaking of bread, and they were all together. There was a sense of unity together as a body for the sake of glorifying Jesus. And when we do this, when we use our gifts and abilities, when we come together, when we are willing to push into unity, Jesus is glorified in and through us. That is so important. And that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to do that. His job is to empower us to live the Christian life. And we've got to get to know the Holy Spirit. The problem is, we know God the Father. He's the Father in heaven. We know Jesus died on the cross for us. But how well do you know the Holy Spirit? It's a bit like having a parrot sitting on your shoulder. If there's a parrot sitting on your shoulder, you sort of lean a bit differently. If you ever walked around with a bird on your shoulder, it's quite interesting. You're trying to keep it there because if you make any sudden movements, it's just going to fly away. So you sort of just say, this is the bird on your shoulder. You're walking around like this and you're sort of leaning into the bird and walking with the bird, being very much aware that this bird is here. And you know, that's how we should be as Christians, very much aware, leaning into the Holy Spirit and just wondering what he's saying. Wondering how he's leading us, because every single part of every single day, the Holy Spirit is in us. He doesn't go away. And he so much wants us to press into him and hear his voice. And his voice, if you want to know about his voice is soft. His voice is gentle. His voice is loving. His voice is kind. He's never going to really knock you down, because his job is to empower you and to build you up. So there's this real need of getting to know the voice of the Spirit of God. It's called conviction. It's not condemnation. If you're being condemned about something, that's coming from the enemy. But the Spirit of God at times wants to say, well done. You're doing a good job. Thanks for doing that. Because the Holy Spirit makes decisions over our lives from the past, the present and the future. And there's absolutely no one else that can make a decision on over our lives better than the Holy Spirit, because he knows everything about us. He knows you when you're formed in your mother's womb. He knows your journey. He knows why you feel the way you do. He knows why you get angry. He knows what causes you to be disappointed. He knows what happens and what's going on in your life when you lack faith. He knows all these things because he made you you and he's journeyed with you, and there's never been a second in your life that he hasn't known you. And from the moment he came in your life, then he's got that absolute ability to lead you and guide you. But the Bible says that we can quench him and grieve him, and how disappointing it is at times when we allow the things of the world to come into our life. Now that's the Spirit. These are the things of the world. So sometimes we think, it doesn't matter if I swear. It doesn't matter if I go on with what everybody else is going on in the world. It doesn't matter if I don't go to church. It doesn't matter if I don't read the Bible. And what happens is, if we don't focus on what the Spirit is saying, and we start letting the stuff of the world just get in there more and more, what happens? It dilutes the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God wants to say and wants to do. And as that continually gets diluted, what happens is we don't hear the Spirit as we should. And then when we don't hear the Spirit as we should, we make decisions and make mistakes. And when we make those mistakes, we turn them around on God and we say to God, God, you've let me down. You've let me down, God, because you haven't answered the prayer the way that I really wanted you to answer that prayer. And then we question God about why he didn't come up with the goods. And all the time, it's not about God. It's about us, because we've filled our life with so much. Rather than having the Spirit of God in control, what happens is we have the things of the world in control. And it waters down what God can do. It waters down what God can say. It waters down how God can use us and help us. So we realize that, and we quickly go back and read a few verses and have a bit of a top up, and it's really good to just get a top up of the Spirit of God. But unless we're willing to remove the things of the world, the top up doesn't last for long. With that other stuff, the noise of the world, the challenges of the world, just come in and absolutely distract us from what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. And I'm just going to leave it there. That's where I'm going to leave it. But the challenge out to you tonight: who's running your life? Is it you, who doesn't know your future, who probably doesn't completely understand your past or where you've come from? Or is it the Spirit of God, who knows your past, your present and your future, who incredibly makes right decisions for you? that really leads you and comforts you and prays for you, and some other areas what the Spirit of God does. And he promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And his desire, his absolute desire for your life and my life is to give us peace, to give us joy, to comfort us, to pray for us, and in the midst of whatever we face, to let us know that our God is enough. And I want to say tonight, he is enough. That's our God. And having the power of the Spirit of God in us and through us makes an incredible difference. Let me pray. Lord, how disappointed you must be when you've given all for us, and then somehow we just dilute the incredible work of the Spirit of God in us and just hinder what you want to say and what you want to do. I ask, Lord, tonight that there'd be a real sense of you continuing to open up our hearts and our spirits to all that you want to say. Lord, where we've stopped listening, I pray that you'd open us up again to listen to what you want to say and what you want to do. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you afresh tonight. We ask, Holy Spirit, would you just come and would you lead us and would you guide us in a really special way, that we would know more and more of your daily presence and your amazing love. In Jesus' mighty holy name, amen.